I'd like to say that I enjoyed that in the program this morning. Appreciate it. Appreciate the meaning. Not just that, I appreciate I know the meaning.
Yeah.
A lot of folks know about him, but they just don't know it. You know, you can hear about the Lord all your life, and it still not mean anything but just a babe in a manger.
Yeah.
Or a man on a cross.
Yeah.
Well, the true identity comes in our lives is when we know him personally. And we have a personal relationship between us and him. We're going to read some scripture this morning, Lord help us. Out of the book of Isaiah. I believe it is. I believe it's the 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're going to read some. Then we're going to read some out of the book of Hosea. It's either the 13th or the 14th. I'll just bear with it. Isaiah, the 25th chapter. We'll start with the first verse. We'll say again, we appreciate you being here this morning. I really do. I appreciate you coming, being in the service with us, and just trust and pray that something might be said or done. I thought about the meaning of that of the program, and as I was reading the scripture there, and the question was asked, why 2,000 years later are we still celebrating his birth? And there's a reason. I appreciate that program. I really do. Appreciate the Lord laying it on Casey's heart. But I thought as they putting the program on that sort of the message that we have this morning, we just ask that the Lord add his blessing. I'm going to read you about 8 or 9 verses here in Isaiah, starting with the first verse. It says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Leave us the book of Hosea, 13th chapter. We're going to start with the 9th verse. It says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is as an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death, O death. I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountains shall be dried up. And he shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading a little scripture out of the book of Isaiah, and also out of the book of Hosea. Knowing that this is some scripture that maybe not be preached on much or mentioned too much, but it is concerning that of the prophecy concerning our Lord and our Savior. And I thought as they put on this program this morning and what we're fixing to celebrate, that of his birth in just a few days, that there's a reason that he came And a good portion of it was told in that of the program this morning. But I want you to think just a little bit with us today. About the importance of Him coming, but more so, I want you to think that about the reality of the matter and go with us that He didn't stay a babe. He didn't stay a babe in the manger. I believe we ought to celebrate this time. I believe we ought to celebrate His birth. And He had to be born even as it was. The Bible says that He was born on this wise. On this wise was He born. He had to come through that of sinful flesh, that He might redeem mankind that's in the flesh. He was coming, brethren, to reach out and to lay hold of the soul of man, that that soul might be redeemed and, brethren, put back into fellowship with that of God. There's no other reason this morning for me and you to celebrate His birth, except it be that He brought salvation unto mankind this morning. And He did. He brought salvation. The Bible says, thanks be to God, there's no other name whereby we must be saved except at the name of Jesus this morning. He didn't stay a babe. He didn't stay in the manger. Brethren, and His work did not finish. Brethren, when He went back to heaven, thank God He sent the Comforter this morning. He sent that man needs. Whether you'll agree or whether you'll think you can find a different way, the fact of it is, there's no peace. There's no peace without knowing Him as your Savior. You'll find no peace. You'll find trouble. Bible says in one place, He said, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth, but my peace I give unto thee. Glory, thanks be to God. God died that you might be saved. Believe it or not, from yourselves. From yourself. Why, preacher, what do you mean? You stay in the condition you're in, you'll die, and you'll go to hell. Preacher, I ain't gonna listen to that. There ain't but two places. There's no gray area with the Lord. There's no gray area, my friend, when we're dealing with our sins. Brethren, they ain't but one mediator. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's not a babe. He didn't stay a babe. He was born a babe that He might redeem us from our fallen state today. Preacher, I can live good enough. No man can. No man can. Nobody can. There's been no man that's ever able to redeem himself. He needed a redeemer. Why was it so glorious that this babe was born? Why was it? Why was it so magnificent? Brethren, that even the Elizabeth John leaped in her womb when she heard the voice of Mary. Brethren, there's something in you that belongs to God. They most certainly are. I really don't care where you're saved or where you're lost. There's something that belongs to God this morning. You'll never find peace till you satisfy Him. And brethren, satisfaction don't come from this world. No, it don't. Brethren, we can la-la about a babe in a manger, and we can woo-woo all over Him, whatever we think or whatever we know. But the fact of it is, He come that me and you might have life this morning. Glory, thanks be to God. We'd be dead without Him. Yes, we would. Isaiah wrote, I could go on. You may be here this morning. You may think, well, preacher, death don't bother me. I can take you to the graveyard, and I'll promise you, we'll probably find one your age. We'll probably find one your size. We'll probably find one, if you could talk to them, they'd tell you they had great plans for their future. Listen, preacher, you're just trying to scare. I ain't trying to scare you. Wouldn't do you no good if I did. The truth of it is, it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to bring peace. It takes Him living and abiding in your heart, in your life, brother, to really know peace. Know Jesus, N-O. N-O, know Jesus. N-O, know peace. Did you hear that? N-O, know Jesus. Know peace this morning. Preacher, I've been saved. I'll promise you one thing. There's no peace in your life unless you're living. Living for God. Outside of His peace, my friend, there is no peace. There's no peace. Brethren, you might pull the wool over everybody's eyes. Brethren, you're living a miserable life. Thank God if you ain't living for Him. Yes, sir. No, K-N-O-W. No, to know. To know Jesus, you know peace. Do you know that? Preacher, I know people that live for Jesus and live for God, and they've got all kinds of trouble. All you see is the outward. That's all you see. All you see. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing, my friend, to be tempted. The Bible says, my friend, temptation, it's really not sin. But this is sin when a man is tempted and drawn away, brethren, by lust. And when lust conceives, brethren, it's sin in your life today. It'll happen. You know why it'll happen? It'll happen just like when the temperature drops. It hits 32 degrees, things start freezing. You know that? There ain't nothing you can do. There ain't nothing you can do. It's the law of physics, if you'll have it. It's a science. Brother, the fact of it is, if you're drawn away of your lust and it conceives, it becomes sin this morning. And there ain't but one remedy for sin. Not but one. That's Jesus. That's the babe. Yes, sir. He didn't stay a babe. He didn't live his life in a manger. He didn't live his life in a stable. No, sir. He didn't come into this world, my friend, to just be born. He came into this world to be born and to live and become, what they say, the King. He is the King of kings. Thank God, Lord of lords. Brethren, He'll bless your life if you'll let Him. Yes, He will. He'll take that's wrong in your life and He'll help you overcome it. Yes, He will. He'll help you overcome it. But you know what you got to do? You got to give it to Him. Preacher, I find it hard living for God. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You ought to check up. You find it difficult to live for God? Brethren, you ought to check up. Thank God, see who your master is this morning. You know, there's people today, my friend, that's living in one miserable life because of their partner. Do you know that? Because of their partner. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You talking about the person I live with? No, I'm talking about your partner. You got one. You got one you're following. Either the Lord, my friend, or you're following the world. One of the two. One of the two. There's things, my friend, in this world that Jesus can overcome. Do you know that? Not just overcome them. He can overcome them in your life. I don't know this morning, and I'm not too worried about it, just to be honest with you. And I would to God, my friend, that the world could see my heart. How about yours? Would you want the world to see your heart? Would you want the world, my friend, to look on the inside and say, wow, brother, that's a great big old surprise. I got news for you. You can't live for Jesus on your own. You can't live for the Lord on your own. You need help. I don't care how big a brute you are. I really don't. I don't care what size you are. I don't care how many experiences you've had. Brethren, there ain't but one thing in this world. When it comes to the end, it comes to the very end of your life. Brethren, I'll guarantee you, there's something in you that wants to be right this morning. Friend of ours passed away just a couple of months ago. He had had cancer, been fighting cancer. He had never professed a hope for years on end. Never professed a hope. His brothers had talked to him. His mother had talked to him. His dad had talked to him. Everybody had known. He wasn't no mean, wild, wicked man. But you know what he was? He is lost. He is lost. Didn't have Jesus in his life. Some of them was talking to him about a month and a half, a couple of months before he died, and they began to talk to him, and he began to confess. He said, I've got things right. He said, I've got saved. And then they began to inquire, and he said, I just want to be baptized and join the church. Didn't have enough strength to even go. They got in touch with a preacher one day, and the preacher went over and talked to him, and he said, well, we'll do what you want to do. He said, I want to be baptized. Lord, give him enough strength to be baptized. Now listen, that meant something to him. There was something lacking in his life, his whole life. Brethren, and he found it. Listen, just a few short days before he left this world. Listen. When he got saved, he wanted to carry on. He wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to go to church. He just wasn't physically able. Maybe went a couple of times. But listen. He made it right. He wanted to be right. There's no guarantee, my friend, that you'll live your life in such a way, my friend, that you'll have a few days to get right. Do you know that? There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, my friend, that you won't be taken out of this world just that quick. Preacher, it's Christmas. We was looking for a good, happy sermon. This will be a happy sermon if you do the right thing. Do you know that? I'm happy in Jesus, ain't you? Yeah. I thought a lot of times, and they say a lot of things today, and I hear a lot of things, and a lot of emphasis is put on. My friend, don't you want your life just like theirs? Why, no. Answer's no. No. I don't want my life to be like yours. Do you? I don't want my life to, my friend, be determined how yours is. No, I don't. I'm telling you the truth. I don't. You know what I want my life to be? I want my life to be pleasing in the eyes of my Savior. Glory, thanks be to God. That might not satisfy you. Do you know that? It might not satisfy you. Isaiah wrote about a man that was coming to take death. He is coming to take death. Take death out of the picture. Whether you believe it or not, you say, preacher, people still die. That's where you live. Brother Jesus tasted death for every man. Brother, death don't have to be no big booger in your life. No, it don't. He tasted death. In the day of Hosea, he said, He said, I'm going to take care and destroy the grave. Do you hear that? Why, preacher, we bury them all the time. Thank God there ain't no grave going to hold me. Number one, I'm going to tell you, I ain't going there. Glory to God! Thanks be to God! I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Woo! That God has quickened, my friend, it ain't going to die. No, sir. I'll never die. They sang that song. I hear people shout all the time when they sing it. I'll just be promoted. Thank God, just changing worlds, my friend. You know what's sad about most folks today? Is that most folks are living in this world to die. Just living to die. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be dying to live. Woo! Die and thank God. Die and out to this world. Brothers, see if you don't come alive as an individual. Things of this world cannot satisfy the soul. They cannot. I thought I'd go a different way, and I didn't. I didn't think I'd be able to stand this long, and I have. Glory to God! Brethren, our God is God this morning. I'd like to just introduce you to him. If you get the real meaning out of this program, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find life. Life. Brethren, he brought life. He didn't bring death. He overcome death. Best thing I ever did in my life was give up and let Jesus take over. Best thing I ever did. Never forget the day. Never forget the day when Jesus came into my life. We sang a song, says, I'm living in a new world. Come get a song, Mike, if you would, this morning. I'm living in a new world. Since the Lord saved me. Preacher, I don't think I can live it. I'm going to agree with you. I don't think you can live it either. It takes you and the Lord. It takes more than what you got to live for Jesus. Yes, sir. It takes some added. It takes some helps, some strengths. There's not a one of us in this world that lives to ourselves, I'll promise you. The scripture says that no man lives to himself and no man dies unto himself. It says whether we live or therefore die, we are the Lord's. Lord's closer to you than you give credit. Lord loves you more than you give credit. And I got news for you that if you've lost, I'll just say, if you've lost that joy, if you've lost that desire to live for Him, you can regain it. You can. Do you know what it takes? It takes repentance. Repentance. Hardest thing in this world you'll ever do is deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. You'll never get there without repentance. Never. Never, ever. How sad. How sad it is that people will let the Lord deal with their heart for just a few minutes, and Him wanting to give them the best thing there is in this world, and then them deny it and leave with a saddened heart, knowing what they should have done, knowing what were they supposed to be. Let us stand. We'll sing verse.